Go with me back to Psalm 133. I haven't been able to stop thinking about our conference. Been thinking about it ever since. I got to the study on Monday and went to Acts like we do for Wednesday, and I just kept thinking about how good and how pleasant that conference was. It was good and it was pleasant. And this scripture is what has been just rolling through my heart. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, Behold. Last weekend, we got to behold something with our own two eyes. We got to see something with our own two eyes. This place was packed. This place is not used to being packed. I mean, this place was packed. You couldn't hardly turn around in the aisle. You could not get through the foyer. Absolutely packed. It was packed with people who love God. It was packed with people who love God. People who have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, the true God. I got to stand up here at the pulpit and look out at everybody. And it's a different perspective from up there. You know, you remember Bruce, he got up there and all of a sudden, wow, there's a lot of people here. You remember he said that? It's a different perspective, looking out at all those people. You get to see everybody's faces. You get to see the joy and the purpose of heart for why we're all here. We were all here for one very good reason, and it was a wonderful weekend. So wonderful. We got to, as verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Brethren. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. That's who we had last weekend. I was hoping we would just be full of visitors, but we weren't. We were full of brothers and sisters. We didn't host acquaintances. A lot of people met certain people for the first time. How you doing? Where you live? But we didn't host acquaintances. Those were our brethren. They were truly our brethren. I mean, our brethren. Those who have been adopted into the family of God, made to be brethren. Verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. This world is not in unity with each other. It is not in unity. They're too focused on self to be in unity with each other. There's no unity when all the focus is on self. But that was not the focus last weekend, was it? It wasn't the focus. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Ephesians 1 says, chosen, doesn't it? Chosen. To be adopted by Jesus Christ to himself. Chosen to be adopted. Brethren, to dwell together in unity. Do you know what the word unity means? One. That's what it means. One. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in one. You know what that means, don't you? In one. As one, we were all here. As one, no, in one. In one. Is that not good and pleasant? For brethren to all sit here and pack this place out in one. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This unity comes from God's Holy Spirit. That's where the unity comes from. It's the unity of the Spirit. Verse 4 says, there is one body. There's one body. Now, I jokingly said last weekend, why don't we just have one congregation? That would have been fine with me last weekend. I could have done that every weekend. Why don't we just do one congregation? How about that? But you know what? We are one congregation. We're God's congregation. We really are just one congregation, made up of many local assemblies. And some might say, you know, you come to a conference like that, and I just mentioned that you meet people you've never met before, and some might say, well, I'm of Tom. Oh, okay. And some might say, well, I'm of Frank. Gotcha. Well, I'm of Todd. Oh, yeah, it's great to have you here. But you know what? We're all of Christ. Aren't we? We're all of Christ. And is Christ divided? The family assembled last weekend. The family. We're going to be in glory with each other. Living in the same house. We're all going to have the same name. We're going to have one father. One husband. The family gathered last weekend. In one. In one. There is one body. Whose body is it? There's one body. Whose body is it? I have a reference right here in my Bible in chapter or verse 4 next to one body. It says chapter 2, verse 16. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 16. It says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We have been made to be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who gathered together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in one, in Christ. It's so good and it's so pleasant. Ephesians 4, back here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit. God's people dwell in unity because He sends each and every one of them one Spirit. His Spirit. He sends it to every single child of His. Verse 4 says, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Who does all the calling? God does. God decides who's a member of His family. Verse 5 says, there is one Lord. There's only one Christ. There's one Messiah. One mediator between God and men. One. The Lord asked Peter, He said, whom do you say that I am? Before that, He said, who do others say that I am? Well, some say this, right? Some say that. He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. the only Christ, we say the same thing, don't we? We say the exact same thing. Verse 5 says, there's one Lord, one faith in that Lord. Last weekend, we dwelt in unity because we were all looking to one Christ. Everybody here was looking to and worshiping one Christ, one faith in one Lord. Verse 5 says there's one baptism. It's not the water we put in this box. That's a confession of the one true baptism, which is God's Holy Spirit laying hold of a sinner and plunging that sinner in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one baptism. Verse 6 says there's one God. One God. The God that the saints in Orlando, Florida are worshiping, it's the same God that the saints in Kingsport, Tennessee are worshiping. And it's the same God that the saints out in Rescue, California are worshiping. It's the same God that the saints in Mérida, Mexico are worshiping. There's one God. One God. His name is Jesus Christ. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This God is above all. He's through all and he's in you all. And you know what that causes? Unity. Unity. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity. And I have a margin in my Bible next to captivity. It says a multitude of captives. A number that God chose, a number no man can number. But he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? If we worship him for his ascension, we must first worship him for his descension. For the fact that he would come all the way down to the lowest part of the earth, the womb. Born of a virgin, he made himself to be a man. God became a man. And then he went under the earth, the grave. And when he did that, you know what he did? He made us his brethren. That's what he did. When he did that, he made us his brethren. He made us acceptable to God. Verse 10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That word means fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. That's what happened last weekend. That's what happened. We had some people in our homes. We cooked. We cleaned. You know what we were doing? The work of the ministry. That's what we were doing. Look at verse 13. For the edifying of the body of Christ. I hope our brothers and sisters left here edified. Edified. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's all about Christ. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in Christ. It's so good. It's so pleasant. Now go with me back to Psalm 133. Verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." That's exactly what brethren dwelling together in unity is like. That's what brethren dwelling together in the unity of Christ is like. It's like that precious ointment. Now, the Lord gave Moses a recipe with particular ingredients for a holy oil that he wanted Moses to make. And that recipe is in Exodus 30. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30, verse 22 says, "Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary," or the perfumer. It's going to be like a perfume. "It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron." Now watch this part right here. "Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." Everything about this oil was sweet smelling. It was a perfume. It was a sweet-smelling savor to God. But here's what the ingredients mean, okay? Here's the definition of the ingredients. Myrrh means to be made bitter. To be made bitter. Cinnamon means to rise up. Anybody already know what all this means? Calamus means a reed, a rod, a branch. And cassia means to bow the head in respect and obedience. Is that not the work of our Lord? The righteous, sinless branch, he willingly, in obedience, took our bitter sin upon himself, and then he rose up from the grave in victory. Our Lord said that work is not going to be mixed with man's flesh. It is not going to be mixed with man's flesh. But he said you can pour it all over Aaron. Why? He's your high priest. He's the one that I've chosen to make the atonement for your soul. does he not represent the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ, our head. Pour my anointing. Pour holiness and righteousness and perfection and satisfaction. You pour it all over him. Your head. There's one body and there's one head. And when all of God's anointing and when all of his blessing was poured on Christ, our head, it ran down his beard and it ran all the way down to his body. It flowed all the way down to the skirts of his garment. It went all the way. Brethren, if we dwell together in unity with Christ, if we dwell in him, in one, every blessing that God gives to him, God gives to us. Every one of them. Every soul in this room last weekend that was lit up with joy and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, every blessing God the Father gives to Christ flowed down to them. As satisfied as God is with Christ, that's how satisfied he is with us. That's good and pleasant, isn't it? Go with me one more time back to Psalm 133. Verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon. Brethren that dwell together in the unity of Christ are, as verse 3 says, the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. That's what it's like to dwell together in one. It's like the dew of Hermon. Mount Hermon is the highest peak in Israel. 9,200 feet above the Mediterranean Sea. And I would have never thought this, but all winter long it is covered in snow. I just wouldn't think of snow in Israel. I don't know why. But all winter, it's covered in snow. And when spring comes, that snow starts to melt. And it waters all the plains and all the fields that are right there at the base of Mount Hermon. Everything below it is a very lush green pasture. I looked it up on the internet. Very interesting. I saw a picture of it in the winter. Everything's dead, covered in snow. I saw a picture of it in the spring. It is so lush. It is so green. It all flowed down from the highest. And everything that dwelt right there, everything that was right there was blessed. It was full of fatness. It was full of life. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Life. It is so good and it is so pleasant to dwell together in Christ, in the unity of Christ. Every ounce of that, Charles Spurgeon pointed out in his Treasury of David, he pointed out, there's not one bad thing in this. It's all good. It's just all good. It's all good and it's all pleasant. And that's our Lord. He's so good. So good. Lord, our prayer is that he might enable us to just dwell in him. Dwell in the unity of Christ. All right, let's stand together.